Have come here for a myriad of reasons, but one of the greatest reasons we can come and gather together is to give the Lord glory, give Him honor, give Him praise. He's so due, He's so worthy of any and all praise that we could give. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, we praise you, we magnify your precious name. What a mighty God we serve! What a mighty God we serve! Hallelujah. While you're grabbing your Bibles, do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Remember tonight, today is the fifth Sunday, and on the fifth Sunday we do what's called Faith and Family. And we tried to do this some time ago, but the weather did not permit, and yesterday it was starting to look like it wasn't going to permit it today. But it's sunny outside, and hopefully the ground is drying up, and the wood won't be too wet to burn. And we're going to have, beginning at 7 o'clock, I know it's a little bit later than our normal start time, but beginning at 7 o'clock at my residence, there, 803 Castle Street, we're going to have Faith and Family Night Fellowship, hot coffee, hot chocolate, popcorn. If you want to bring stuff to do s'mores, we'll have a bonfire. Actually, we'll have a bigger bonfire out in the yard area, and then a smaller one up on the deck area. And then we'll have an outdoor movie playing. The movie is kind of it's a kid's movie, but it's a family movie. It's an animated thing called God's Creatures, I believe it's called. And the kids are excited about it. They've been wanting to watch it since we got it. And I said, no, we're going to wait until we do the Faith and Family Night. So that'll be playing on the screen. There'll be bags for the guys that want to play bags. There's a trampoline. There's swing sets. Obviously, there's the bonfire for roasting and just a good time of fellowship. Going to go from about 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So any time or all that time that you want to come, we'd appreciate that. We're just looking forward to it. There's going to be, it's kind of new, it's going to be a what they call a popcorn bar, which has got all the different, bunch of different flavorings and stuff that you can put on the popcorn. So we won't let you go home hungry, but we won't feed you an entire meal, okay? And so you'll want to eat supper before you come, and then just plan to snack and have a good time together. And that's happening tonight at 7 o'clock. Next Sunday night, I realize that next weekend is Labor Day weekend. I know that there are some that are going to be out of town. You've already told me. But if you're here in town and you're available, we want to encourage you to come to church. We're going to have a special guest speaker, Reverend Anthony Cox, who pastors in Harvey, Illinois, not too far from, a little over an hour away from here. He is going to be here in service ministering next Sunday night. He and his family are going to be with us, and so we're looking forward to having them. So if at all possible, by any means, if you could make sure that you're here in the house of the Lord. Like I said, I know it's Labor Day weekend, but it's always a good thing as pastor when you invite a guest minister and people decide to show up. That's always a good thing. And so we encourage you to come next Sunday night as well. Isaiah chapter number 43. I'm going to read one verse of scripture to provide text for what I would like to speak upon, but then I will address numerous scriptures throughout the course of the message. I know that's not always my way, but sometimes I just switch it up. You know, variety is the spice of life, so have a little variety here this morning. Isaiah chapter number 43, one verse of scripture, verse number 25. Says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not, everybody say will not, and will not remember thy sins. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. I want to preach to you upon this thought, this subject. It was me or my sins. It was me for my sins. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house and lift you up and glorify your precious name. Lord, we thank you, God, for these young people and little ones that we are able to celebrate their promotion, God, as they graduate. God, there's no greater thing than to watch children grow up in your house, Lord, being taught of your word. God, we thank you for the opportunity we have as adults to sit here at your feet symbolically and hear your words. God, let they penetrate the heart and life. God, let us leave here with a greater understanding of how you work and how you move. We love you, Lord. We love being in your presence. We love worshiping you, God. You are so good to us. We praise your precious name. We magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. I'll bless you for standing. You may be seated. It was me or my sins. They had witnessed the miraculous. God had delivered them out of one of the most powerful nations in all the world at that time, and God had done so with a mighty hand. God had revealed the futility of their own gods, and God in his way in sending plagues upon the land of Egypt, God had brought his people out with a mighty hand. Under the direction of Moses, they made their way. Not only did they leave their land of captivity, not only did they come out of Egypt with a mighty hand, but they came out of Egypt with many possessions. They came out of Egypt. They were instructed to borrow from those that had been and ruled over them. And so when they came out of Egypt, the Bible says they came out with great substance. They weren't just delivered out of Egypt. They were delivered with great substance. They were delivered with a mighty hand. They had seen the miraculous. They had no doubt witnessed the move of God. They had seen the things happen. They had witnessed the plagues upon the land of Egypt. They had witnessed their captors and those that were the Egyptians. They had witnessed them people receive the brunt of the plagues while they themselves were relieved of them. They had witnessed all of these things happen. And now Moses, the man who is leading them, the man who has taken his rightful place, if you will, as their leader, Moses makes his way up the mountain with Joshua. And Moses is there to hear from the Lord. He's up on the mountain for some time. But we need to know that even before Moses ascended under the mountain for God to write upon the tablets what we call the Ten Commandments, even before that had happened, the Lord himself had spoken from the mountain and had given them the commandments verbally. God had voiced his commandments to his people, and God had told them what they were to do and how they were to walk after him and follow him. And now Moses, after receiving the Ten Commandments, if you will, on the tablets of stone, Moses is making his way down the mountain, and Joshua meets him and says, there's a sound in the camp. It's not a sound of war, but it's a sound of singing. And so Moses, as he makes his way down the mountain, and he sees, and what is displayed before him there in the valley is these people that God has delivered out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who have already witnessed the miraculous. These people are embarrassing themselves and desecrating themselves, and they are worshiping a golden calf that Aaron had made for them out of the substance that God had provided unto them. Moses is angered, and the Bible says that Moses takes his tablets of stone and he casts them to the ground and they break into pieces. And then he comes up to Aaron and says, "What in the world is going on? What is happening?" Aaron beseeches Moses to have pity and mercy upon him. And Aaron makes this statement. He says, "Thou knowest the people. They are set on mischief." You know what kind of people they are, Moses. You've been leading them yourself. You've been trying to deal with their stubbornness yourselves. You know what kind of people they are, Moses. They're set upon mischief. Bible reads in Exodus 32, verses 30 through 33, "And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, Lord, please forgive them. If not,
what Moses says. If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Lord, forgive them. Lord, have mercy upon them. They have even before I made my way down the mountain with the commandments. They're already breaking the first one, God. They're already in the midst of making a mess. They're set upon mischief. Lord, forgive them. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So what's going to happen, Moses? Whoever has sinned against me, then I will blot that person out of my book. As I stated earlier, it's interesting to note that God had already given them the commandments verbally. God had already spoken from the mountain. Exodus 20 recounts the words of the Lord when he spoke to the children of Israel. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. The very first commandment that God gave. Don't have any other gods before. And don't make any graven images. Have anything in the heavens or in the earth or in the water beneath the earth. And one of the first things they do when Moses is away on the mountain is they say, Aaron, make us a god. Just a few verses earlier, the Lord had spoken from heaven and said, don't do this. The Bible says they were exceedingly fearful and they trembled at the voice of the Lord because he spoke with thunderings and lightnings. And they said, oh, Moses, don't let the Lord speak to us anymore. You go and speak to God. And while Moses is away doing what they requested of him to do, the first thing they do is disobey the commandment. They say, Aaron, make us a god. And even though the Lord said, don't make any other gods and don't make any graven image out of anything that is in the heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water beneath the earth, guess what? They make the image of a calf. Folks, they learned that from the Egyptians. They learned that from those that God had delivered them out of. God had already destroyed. Think about it. One of the plagues was the lice came upon the cattle and the Lord struck all the firstborn. And now one of the first things they do when Moses is absent from their presence, when Moses is on the mountain doing what they requested him to do and speaking with God, they make a god. They're worshiping it. It's a god making to the likeness of a calf. And Moses becomes upset. Moses hadn't even made it off the mountain with the commandments, and they're already breaking number one. Might I say it this way? Sometimes we don't even get home from church before we start messing up. So, preacher, you've been preaching a lot lately about our faults and our failures and our human condition. Yes, because the more Paul became and understood the grace and mercy of God, the more Paul understood his own inadequacies. Paul, by the end of it, he's saying, I am the chiefest of sinners. What are you saying, Pastor? Only this, the more I understand of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God, the more I understand of my human condition. So let me not separate myself so far from the Israelites. Sometimes before I even get home, I'm messing up. I know it's not everything we want to hear because it's very candid and it's very true. And the Lord said, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So if being without sin is a requirement in order to remain written in God's book, then there's only one name worthy to be written on the pages. me my name in God's book on my own merit, well, let's just say I'm light years away from making the list. Based upon my own righteousness, based upon my own doing, me, my name in God's book, not a possibility. The Lord said, him that hath sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. And I don't know about you, but I've sinned. I know you have, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. There's not a single one of us. There is none of us that are worthy to be written in the book. None of us. There is none good. No, not one. There is only one name worthy to be written upon the pages. There was only one name who was without sin. There was only one who never messed up and never made a mistake. There's only one. And it's not me. And it's not you. So the reality is, if I'm going to make it, if my name's going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, something has to be blotted out. And it's either me or my sins. Because my sins keep me from being written in the book. And so it's only two things it could be. It's either me being blotted out or my sins. Because I can't make it. So here's where human thinking comes in. Here's where a lot of people are. They think, well, I might as well just set myself to mischief. I'm not any better than those that were breaking the commandments before the commandments even made it down the mountain. I'm like them. So, Pastor, tell me, how does anybody have any hope of making it? I have sinned and do sin, so a blotting of me there must be. I mess up. I make mistakes. Might I say it this way? Well, a blotting there must be, but it doesn't have to be me. See, it's me or my sin, but God, in His infinite love, wisdom, and understanding, He made a way for it not to be me. Yeah, there's a blotting. A blotting has to be a holy, righteous, sovereign, perfect God has no communion with unrighteousness. There's no way to be reconciled as a human who is faulty and messes up. There's no way for me and of myself to be reconciled unto a holy God. There's no way for me to be at peace with God because I've sinned. So a blotting there has to be. Something has to be blotted out. And it's either me or my sins. It's either me or my sins. But may I draw your attention to Colossians chapter 2. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, through Jesus Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, and catch this next part, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. See, it was me or my sin. There was no other way. The only way that I was ever going to make it in the book was not going to be upon my own merit, because I would never make it on the pages therein. But oh, so there was a choice. It had to be me or my sin. And so the Lord Himself decided, long before He ever even created it, I'm going to do something special. See, a blotting there has to be, but it doesn't have to be me. And there was a blotting that took place on a very special day. Now, I won't go into all details. You just have to take my word for it that I've done the study and I've done the research. I've looked at it. I do understand this. The Jewish day is different from our day. So when you read the Bible, if you do so without understanding the way the Jews counted a day, you can get confused on how things took place and the way things took place. You see, where our day starts at midnight. Midnight starts the new day. In the Jewish calendar, the Jewish day starts at 6 p.m. It runs from 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's the way the Jews count a day. This is how you can figure when Jesus said 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. If you understand the 3 days and the three nights and you parallel them to the Jewish calendar, then it makes sense. Does it make sense in our understanding and in our way of keeping time? Not in the Roman calendar, but in the Jewish calendar, it makes sense. Do a little research and you do a little study. And I know some time ago when we talked about the tabernacle, we touched upon this and we talked about this. There was a certain day. It was a day of preparation for the Passover. It was the 14th day of Nisan. It is on this day, that evening, Jesus ate the Passover with the disciples, and then he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he was taken and arrested by the temple guard. And through the night, he was tried. This is still the 14th day of Nisan, the day of preparation. It was also the day between the two evenings. The Bible says that every household was to take what was called the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, and they were to take it and they were to slay it. But in the beginning, they were to slay it in their home. But after the tabernacle and the temple was instituted, you read in Deuteronomy where they were required to take it to the temple. And they were to kill the Passover lamb. So the afternoon that Jesus hung upon the cross, you do a little time search, you will find out that at 9 a.m. Jesus is being led to Calvary. From 9 a.m. to noon, Jesus is upon the cross, or rather from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. But at noon, the Bible says, Luke 23, 44 and 45, and it was about the sixth hour. There was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So from noon to 3 o'clock, there's darkness over all the earth. Jesus is hanging upon the cross. But while Jesus is hanging upon the cross, it is at this time where every family was to take a lamb to the temple. They were to kill it. It was the Passover lamb. While Jesus is hanging upon the cross, blood is pouring from him. Blood is pouring from the Passover lambs as each family brings a lamb to slay and sacrifice for Passover. It's also interesting to note that it was right before sundown, around 3 p.m., when the priest would step on the steps of the temple and put the shofar to his lips and blow the trumpet, signaling the end of sacrifice. It is at this same time, maybe even at the same moment, I believe, that the priest put the trumpet to his lips, blowing the call for the end of sacrifice, that from the cross came this: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. What's interesting is this phenomenon that took place. The Bible records it, no doubt. It had to have been some of the catalysts for the Roman centurion that stood beside the cross and looked at Jesus and said, surely this was the Son of God. It took place, the phenomenon in the atmosphere that happened at noon and went from noon till 3 p.m., this phenomenon that the Bible says there was darkness over all the earth. You won't find this in the Bible, but if you do a little research, there was a writer of antiquities, a great Jewish historian by the name of Josephus, that wrote that on this time and on this day in the city of Jerusalem, if you were on the outskirts of the city and you looked, because of the amount of blood that was shed from all the lambs on this day, sometimes you could see and there would be a red reflection in the sky from the amount of blood that was shed on this day when all the Passover lambs were slain. Why is that significant, Pastor? Why bring that to our attention? Because I draw your attention to a verse of Scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 44. It is verse number 22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. A messianic prophecy concerning Jesus, concerning the Messiah. Isaiah foretold what would happen on that day. Isaiah, prophet, in a messianic prophecy, said what would take place on that day. And though it was a phenomenon to those who witnessed, though those that were standing looked up into the sky and were amazed that it was dark, the sun was darkened. It was a prophecy back in Isaiah that said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins have returned unto me, for I have redeemed thee. You see, it was me or my sins. It was me or my sins. And when Jesus hung suspended between heaven and earth, the darkness that covered all the earth was a sign. It was a fulfillment of the messianic prophecy. You see, on that day there would be no red reflection in the sky. On that day it didn't matter how much blood was spilled on the surface of the earth. There was a thick cloud which blotted out any sign of transgression. There was a thick cloud which existed over all the earth on that day that blotted out any sign of transgression and any sign of sin. And I'm so thankful a blotting there had to be, but it didn't have to be me because of what Jesus has done. Now you and I have hope. You see, I had no hope of not being blotted out until Jesus hung between heaven and earth and by himself blotted out my sins. Let me tell you this morning, I've come to give you some good news. It doesn't matter how dark the deed. It doesn't matter how scarlet the stain of sin. Isaiah, that same prophet, said in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, you see, it was me or my sins. Something had to be blotted. A blotting there had to be, but I'm so thankful it didn't have to be me. I'm so thankful that now I stand justified. I'm so thankful that because of what Jesus did and the price that he paid and the sacrifice for sin was so sufficient that though a blotting there had to be, it doesn't have to be me. And now my name can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because of what Jesus did. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out. so thankful that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doesn't matter how dark the deed, doesn't matter how scarlet the sin, guess what? A blotting there had to be, but it doesn't have to be me. I can come to Him and I can repent and be converted, that my sins can be blotted out. The Bible says that Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Because every time the accuser of the brethren tries to bring up what we've done and mistakes that we've made, guess what? We have an advocate that argues on our behalf and intercedes and says, wait a second, I paid the price. I blotted it out. I, through my own sacrifice, became the sufficient sacrifice for sin forever. And if we can find no other reason to rejoice, if life has dealt you a dirty hand, it's hard to find joy to smile about your situation. If you can find nothing else in your life to be grateful for, there is one thing that trumps everything else. An attitude of gratitude that says, thank you. Because it was me or my sin. Something had to be blotted. And I don't want my sin to remain, because sin will keep me from what you've prepared for me. And so I come and I repent. I'm converted and my sins are blotted out. And I rejoice in the reality that even though a blotting there had to be, it doesn't have to be me. Because of what Jesus did. Huh. And Lord, I stand here this morning, and in a public display of gratitude, I lift my hands. I lift my eyes to you and say, thank you. Because it was me or my sins. And you paid the price. You purchased me. You see, the blotting out in ancient times had to do with when there was a debt to be paid. Once the debt was paid in full, then the debt was blotted out. Our day and age, we think more of erasing, we think more of deleting, but that day and age, it was they would take something and completely cover the record. Like you write something on a notepad and you don't want anybody to be able to tell what was ever there. So you take a marker and you mark over it. You take another pencil and you make sure that you scribble over it. No one would be able to tell. You see, a blotting there had to be, but I'm thankful it doesn't have to be me. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. The blood of Jesus blots out my sin, and though they be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Why? Because a blotting there had to be. And so the man, the only one ever worthy to be written on the pages of God's book, looked heavenward and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible said it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? Because by one man's obedience, all are made righteous. Thank you, Jesus. It was me or my sin. And your blood blotted out the record. So Isaiah can rightly say in a prophetic voice, I have blotted out your transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember your sin. It was me or my sin. And oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes me. Can we take a few moments and with a thankful heart, with an attitude of gratitude, can we look to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus.
Crimson love.
If you're here this morning, it doesn't matter how dark the stain of sin is. Doesn't matter what you've done. God is just. God is right. There will have to be a blotting. God cannot in His holiness and His righteousness cannot let sin go unpunished. There has to be a blotting. And it's me or my sins. I encourage you this morning, repent and be converted, and your sins may be blotted out. The times of refreshing have come in the presence of the Lord. He's here. He's here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It was me or my sins.
Saved my life. It's the blood.
old song of the church. Starts out in sin I wandered sore and sad, with bleeding heart and aching head, till Jesus came and sweetly said, I'll take your sins away. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Goes on to say, we cannot know, we may not tell, how we are saved from death and hell. Through faith, we know that all is well. He took our sins away. Jesus. One more time, can we just lift our hands and lift our voice? Thank you, Jesus.
It's my joy to
thank you, Jesus, for what you did.
In all I do, I honor you.
Thank you for the price that you paid.
I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken.
Think about the words of this song.
I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Because you died and you rose again. Amazing love.
God bless you for being in service this morning. Be reminded tonight, 7 o'clock, our residence, not here at the church. Faith and Family Night. God bless you for being here and attending this morning. You may go in Jesus' name.